Turn with me, if you would, back to Romans chapter 8. And let's just enjoy these verses together. Romans 8, verse 28 says, "And we know that all things work together for good." Good, 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 good. I'd love to learn that one day. Brother Henry Mahan, this endeared me to him so much. He got to the end of his life and he was tired of hearing bad news. He was over it. No more. No more bad news. And everything you said to him, he said, "That's good." And it doesn't matter what it was. That's good. That's so good. He'd ask you a question, "How's everything going?" You'd give him a not so great answer. He'd say, "But it's good, right?" "Well, yeah, but it's good, right?" And then finally you'd catch on and say, "Yeah, it's good. It's good." We know that all things work together for good. To them that love God. What an amazing statement that is. By God's grace, can you believe? Do you have any idea what kind of sinners we are? Can you believe that we love God? Can you believe that? You talk about take something for granted. That a despicable, vile, rotten, dead, hateful, rebellious sinner could actually love God. By God's grace, because He did something for us, I pray that I don't ever get over the wonder of the fact that Christ came and did something for me. I pray I don't. I pray that never becomes old, an old hat, you know. Because He did something for us and because He created something in us, we can honestly and truthfully say that we love God. We love God. We do, don't we? The Almighty God. We love Him in sickness and in health, in poverty and in wealth, because He did something for us. By His grace, we leave all others and cleave to Him and Him alone. Our brother recently preached from Psalm 116. And the first line of that psalm says, "I love the Lord." As soon as he said that line, I thought, "Oh my goodness, I love the Lord." What an amazing thing. What a precious thing. Because of God's grace and God's gift to His people, they can truthfully say that from the heart. And for every soul that can truthfully say that from the heart, verse 28 says, "We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose." Every time I read that verse, I'm in awe of how many words there are in that verse that are my favorite words. I love these words. I love that it says, "We know." We know. We know. Sometimes it's just so hard to remember, it's so hard to put it into practice. It's so hard to get it out of this flesh because the flesh, it just drowns everything in sin. But the Spirit of God in us has caused our souls to know. We know. I love the two words, "all things." And the reason I say that is because really and truly, most everything is bad. Most everything is bad. But I love the word "good." Good. I love the fact that it says, love God, the true God, the sovereign God. I love the word called. Don't you thank God for calling His people to Himself? Man, do we love the word purpose. If I didn't have that word purpose, I wouldn't have anything. I just wouldn't have anything. I love how sure that announcement is. We know. I love how encompassing that announcement is. All things, everything falls into the category. Nothing left outside of the category. I love how positive that announcement is. We have the most positive gospel, the only gospel. It's good. It's all for good. Why did God do that? Why did God do that? Why did God do that? You know, there's only one answer. Good. Good. Why did this happen? God did it. And why did God do that? Good. That's why He did it. Good. I love how loving the announcement is. This is between those who love God and those that God has loved. I love how specific the announcement is. It's to the called according to His purpose. It's to an exact people. An exact people. And I love how eternal this announcement is. It is from eternity to eternity. From eternity to eternity, that right there will never change. And this is the reason why. Verse 29 says, for whom He did foreknow. God knows everything. God knows everything. There's so many things I don't know. I don't know. God does. He knows everything. And thank God, He knew His people. Whom He did foreknow. Whom He knew before. Before anything. Before everything. Whom He knew and set His love on and purpose to save in eternity past. Verse 29 says, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate. What does that word mean? It means He predestinated. Well, it must be destiny. It is. It is. He predetermined. He foreordained. He appointed beforehand. Everything. For every single one of His people. And this was what the purpose of it was. To be conformed to the image of His Son. Think about that. Enter into what that is saying, to be conformed to the image of His Son. What a holy statement that is. What a glorious statement that is. To be conformed to the image of His Son. Look with me at 1 Corinthians 15. First Corinthians 15, verse 49, it says, as we have borne the image of the earthy, and that's what we're bearing right now, we're in it. As we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Christ Himself, the express image of the invisible God. John said, when we see Him, we're going to be just like Him. That's just unimaginable. That's just amazing. When we see Him, we're going to be just like Him. And David said, that's the moment that I'll be satisfied. I'll be so satisfied. It'll be done. It'll all be over. It'll be satisfied. This honestly makes me want to say, I love the Lord. I love the Lord because He's worked all things together for our good in the Lord Jesus Christ. He worked everything out perfectly for our good in the Lord Jesus Christ. He has called us. How kind it is that He said, come. He has appointed purpose to us. I think about the story of Ruth, Boaz. You know, Ruth was gleaning in the field, and she thought that her hap was, that's what she thought, but she didn't know that He told the men, you leave handfuls of purpose for her. And that's what our Lord has done for us. He has appointed purpose to us. And He has predestinated the end result of all of His people to be just like the Lord Jesus Christ. That's amazing news. That really is. That is great, great news. Back in Romans 8, verse 29 says, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Firstborn among many brethren. Look with me, if you would, at verse 14. It says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. It pleased the Father to make Christ to be the firstborn among many brethren. Many brethren, all of them inheriting His likeness, all of them made to be in His perfect image, His glorious image. And verse 30 says, if you look back at verse 30, it says, moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. The Lord calls His people. He calls them by His Spirit. He calls them through His Word. He calls them to Himself. Every soul that He predestinated to Christ will be called to the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 30 says, moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. That means declared to be right. Declared to be innocent. Declared to be free. If someone goes to a judge in a courtroom and the judge declares him to be justified in what he did, he means it was right. There's no guilt in it. Innocent. You're free to go. Verse 30 says, moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. That word means celebrated and honored. And God's people cry, not unto us. Not unto us. You're celebrated. You're honored. But He says, you're celebrated and you're honored with Me. In Me. How can that be said of sinners like us? Really, how can that be said? Verse 31 says, what shall we then say to these things? What could we possibly say to this announcement? This is all we can say. This is how that can be. This is the glory of the gospel. Verse 31, he said, if God be for us, who can be against us? That means who can prevail against us? Everything is against us. Everything. Our own flesh is against us. We are against ourselves. We are warring against ourselves. Our own flesh is warring with the Spirit, trying to bring our own selves down into destruction and into death. But because God was for us, because everything that Christ came to do was for us, it was all for us. And because he accomplished everything he came to do for us and defeated everything that was against us, because of Christ, nothing can prevail over us. Nothing. Nothing. He prevailed over us, and nothing can prevail over him. Nothing. If God be for us, who can be against us? Verse 32, it says, he that spared not his own son. Which, what a statement that is. He that spared not his own son. Our God did something for us that we would never do for anyone else. He gave his own son. He spared not his own son. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. Who are the us all? Verse 28 says, it's them who are the called according to his purpose. Verses 29 and 30 say it's every soul that he foreknew and predestinated and called and justified and glorified. Verse 1 in this chapter says it's every soul that God the Father placed in Christ. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in the Lord Jesus Christ. In his will and in his purpose and in his life, in his death, in his blood, in his resurrection, in him. Every soul in him. Every soul in his finished work. Back in verse 32, it says, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? If he gave us Christ, what would he withhold from us? If he gave us Christ, what would he withhold? I adore that illustration Brother Don Fortner gave whenever his daughter married Doug, her husband, and Don made him a set of keys to everything Don owned. Here's a key to my house. Here's a key to my car. Here's a key to my garage. You can go into my garage. I have tools. Get anything you need. And Doug said, you mean I can go in there and just get anything I want? And he said, son, I gave you my daughter. You don't think I'd give you a wrench? If I gave you her, I'll give you anything. If he gave us his son, what would he withhold? How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? And with that, the Father has declared all things to be freely given to the Son. He's the inheritor of all things. And he has declared us to be joint heirs with the Son. We truly have been given all things with Christ. All things. Everything. Verse 33 says, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? God won't. The law won't. Who else can? If God won't and the law won't, who else can? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. God's people have already been justified. They're already justified. Yea, justified, oh blessed thought. Already justified in Christ. The moment that he took all of the sin away from us, and he took all the blame away from us and laid it on himself at the cross of Calvary, At that very moment, he took all the charge away from us. He left nothing to be charged with. Not one sin, not one spot. He laid all the charge on himself. Therefore, he laid all the condemnation on himself. Verse 34 says, "Who is he that condemneth? Is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again." How do we know that Christ accomplished what he came here to do for us? How do we know he really put our sin away and really paid the debt? God the Father raised him from the dead. God the Father said, "Well done, I'm well pleased, that sin is gone." He raised him from the dead. Verse 34 says, "Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God." The right hand of God does not mean that he is sitting right next to God. He is God. The right hand means the seat of honor. That's what it means. There's only one throne. That one throne is the seat of honor, and the Lord Jesus Christ is sitting in it. All the fullness of the Godhead is sitting in it, in him. And amazingly enough, this is truly, there are so many statements that we've already read here that are so amazing, but this one is amazing to me. You talk about glorified. It says he glorified his people. You talk about glorified. Ephesians 2 says all of God's people are sitting in the same seat of honor with him. Seated with Christ. Scripture says we're going to reign with him. Is that not amazing? All of God's people sitting right there. That's what they are. That's where they are. Sitting right there. Safe and secure. Under the intercession of the blood of the Lamb. Look back at verse 26. It says, "Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God." Right now, he is making intercession on behalf of his people. Down in verse 35, it says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ?" He said, "Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Who is he that condemneth? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ?" The love that sought us. The love that bought us. The love that brought us. The love that will keep us to the end. Do you at all enjoy hearing that you're going to be kept to the end by the power of God in the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you at all enjoy hearing that? If he does not keep us, we're not going to be kept. We're not just prone to wander. It's all the flesh can do. You know, "Well, I'm prone to every now and then." No, all my flesh can do is run. But we're going to be kept. Verse 35 says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation..." That means pressure, affliction. Or there's a lot of outside pressure. A lot of pressure. It's just a lot of pressure. There is. There's a lot of pressure. Is that going to separate us from the love of Christ? He said, "What about distress? Anguish. All that pressure creates anguish. Is that going to separate us from the love of Christ?" Well, Christ was building his church, but all these things happened and it just caused the whole thing to fall. Is that what's going to happen? No. He said, well, what about persecution? That's a persistent, continual hostility. He said, what about famine? That means lack, little, doing without. What if we lose everything? What if we do? What if we do? Is that going to separate us from the love of God? The love of the Lord Jesus Christ? He said, what about nakedness? Being exposed for what we really are. What if we all are exposed for what we really are? What we're trying to hide and put on a good front for each other. What if we're all exposed? He said, what about peril? That means danger. What if we end up in the middle of danger? He said, what about sword? That means war. It means death. Verse 36, he said, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. But we're not sheep for the slaughter. That's all we seem to be. That's all it appears to be. Just sheep for the slaughter. He said, but we're not. If we're outside of Christ on our own, then we would be. That's all we would be. But in Christ, in the security and the safety and the redemption and the justification of Christ. Verse 7, he said, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. If you have that center margin in your Bible, we are more than conquerors. Don't turn, but it's where we were a moment ago, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57. That's the reference. That verse says, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what God's people have, victory. Victory. They feel like they're always on the losing end of things. But our Lord said, in Christ, all of God's people have been given victory. Victory. He said, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Verse 38, he said, for I am persuaded. That's a good thing to be. That's just a good thing to be. I am persuaded. I'm persuaded. In Acts 26, verse 26, Paul said, I'm persuaded that this thing was not done in a corner. Our Lord did not hide any of this. This salvation was made known to all. In 2 Timothy 1:12, he said, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. And right here, Paul said, verse 38, for I am persuaded that neither death, you know, we're all going to die at some point. I'm not trying to scare the children, but it's inevitable. Because of sin, that's what sin brings. But the glory of the gospel and the peace and comfort of the gospel is, I'm persuaded that neither death, when that moment comes, death, to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. I'm persuaded that life, I'm going to tell you this, life is hard. Life is full of... Job said, man's days are few and full of trouble. I'm persuaded that angels, fallen angels, principalities, governments and things set up, and powers and things that we don't know anything about, things that are right now happening, things that are present, nor everything that's to come. If we think now is bad, just wait. Just wait. It's about to get good. Just wait. It'll get worse, which is good. I'm persuaded, he said, that height, depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. He said, God's people are in the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ is in the hand of God the Father. And no man is able, and no thing is able, to pluck God's people out of those two hands. Nothing is able. Nothing will ever be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. If we want to be in God's love, it can only be found in Christ. If we want to be in God's favor, it can only be found in Christ. If we want to be in every spiritual blessing that God has promised to His people, we must be in Christ. We must be in Christ. And if you want to be in Christ, you are. If you see Him to be the only hope, and your only desire is to be in Him, you are. God put that in you. God gave that desire to you. God called you to Him. All that the Father has given to Christ shall come to Christ. In him that cometh to Christ, Christ will in no wise cast him out. That's good news. That's good news. That's the best news I've ever heard. I believe it is. All right, Brother Eddie, you come.